We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall never surrender until, in God's good time, the new world, with all its power and might, steps forth to the rescue and the liberation of people.
In times of universal deceit, truth is the only rebellion left. On today's show, Al Gore and the United Nations Secretary General, as well as many others, now are demanding a great reset of the global economy, global capitalism, and the global political structure. That and the Church of Holy Wokeness. I'm Dr. Everett Piper, and this is The Rebellion. Welcome to today's show. Welcome to The Rebellion. Yesterday, I told you that we were going to discuss Al Gore and his call for a great reset of global capitalism, the global economy, and all global political structures. And I said that should scare the heck out of all of you to hear that being discussed. It's not just Al Gore out there being an egghead and a crackpot. He has several joining with him in this particular language and this particular call for, frankly, a complete restructuring of what it means to be a free human being or be a human being held in bondage to the oligarchy. The United Nations Secretary General, for example, is joining Al Gore in calling for a great reset. That's the headline for today's rebellion. Before we get into that, however, you know the routine. 918-756-3646 if you want to text in your questions or comments. 918-756-3646. If you want to contact me differently than via text, go to my website, and that's DrEverettPiper.com. You can find a tab on there which takes you directly to a form where you can contact me. That's DrEverettPiper.com, DrEverettPiper.com. Also, go to that website and click on podcasts, or just add a /podcast in your search of DrEverettPiper.com, and you will go directly to the archive to back issues of The Rebellion, and you can post those and send them out to your friends and get other people. We need thousands of more people to join The Rebellion. So I encourage you, I implore you, I ask you to send out more of these podcasts to your social network so we can get more people listening and more people involved. They need to understand that ideas have consequences. They need to listen. They need to have a conversation. They need to do what they claim to be. In other words, they say they're tolerant. They say they're inclusive. They say they want to listen. Well, ask them to do so. And if they disagree with some of these ideas, ask them to be classically liberal and engage in a robust debate, a robust exchange of ideas. Tell them not to shut down other people just because they might disagree. Ask them to listen. And then encourage them not to use fallacies, not to shoot the messenger, not to use ad hominem attacks and ad populum fallacies and non sequiturs. We've talked about what all those mean. Encourage them. Encourage them to engage. In other words, let's get more people involved in the rebellion. In times of universal deceit, truth is the only rebellion left. I use that as a tagline on purpose. We live in a time of lies. We live in a time of universal deceit, where up is down and down is up. Evil is good and good is evil. Bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. A male is a female and a female is a male. We live in a time of great deception and great deceit. We live in an Orwellian time where the lie has become the big truth. And the only rebellion left is to speak the objective, immutable, unchangeable truths that we understand to be given to us by the laws of nature and by nature's God, the revelation of God as the context of our truths and our arguments and our freedom as a people is important. Okay, you got a little bit of my soapbox on the importance of truth. You've heard it before, but it's not harmful for you to hear it again. Let's get to the topic of the day. Al Gore, the United Nations Secretary General, and others are now demanding a great reset of global capitalism. This is the headline of an article that was published on June 25th by Justin Haskins, H-A-S-K-I-N-S. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin T. Haskins. Justin T. Haskins is his Twitter handle. You need to do so. He's the executive editor and research fellow at the Heartland Institute. and the editor-in-chief of StopSocialism.com. He's also the author of a book called Socialism is Evil, The Moral Case Against Marx's Radical Dream. He has an article that's been published in several online sites after June 25th, obviously, and I want to highlight a couple of his points in this. It's so critical for you to understand. And then I'm going to give you a brief response. That'll take up the first half of the show. So Al Gore and all his other smarter than thous, including the United Nations Secretary General and several others of these folks that are calling you deplorable rubes, these folks who are claiming that they're the smart ones and that you're too stupid to think your way out of a paper bag and you're too ignorant and you lack the gray matter in terms of making your own decisions out how to live, how to use your property, where to go to church, when to go to church, how to go to church, when to buy, what to buy, how to buy, when grocery stores should be open and when they should be closed, how to deal with the fact that an aggressive flu, a pandemic, is always inevitable on the horizon. It has been, it always will be. Now they're using this crisis, never let a good crisis go to waste, to gain control over every aspect of your life. You think this is conspiracy theory? You think I've got a tin foil hat? No. Let's listen to what they're actually saying. I read some highlights from the Haskins article. He says this, these are truly dangerous times for those who support individual liberty and free markets. Important, if you want to be a free people, if you want to have individual liberty, if you want to be a classical liberal, have free markets, freedom of religion, freedom of expression, freedom to go where you want to go and do what you want to do, as long as it doesn't pick somebody else's pocket or break their leg, Thomas Jefferson, then you should have the freedom to do it. That's the premise of the American dream, the American experiment. He goes on. The economic, social, and political chaos, listen to this, caused by COVID-19 and the breakout and by Black Lives Matter. See, he's tying the two together, and they are, these people, these oligarchs, see an opportunity. You've got the chaos of COVID-19, and you have the chaos of BLM. Whether they've been behind the scenes pulling the strings to make some of this stuff happen or not is another show for another time. But the fact of the matter is it's out there. Nobody can dispute that. Whether you're left, right, or in the center, there's obviously chaos associated with COVID and BLM. He goes on to say, the economic, social, political chaos caused by COVID and BLM protests have for months captured the attention of virtually every American. True, indisputable. And for good reason, these are incredibly important issues worthy of significant and thoughtful debate. He then goes on and says this, but while most Americans have been preoccupied with protests and pandemics, a potentially bigger story has managed to slip beneath the radar, a growing movement among the world's most popular and powerful leaders to call for a quote-unquote reset of the entire global economy, global community, global politics, and global authority structures. At a meeting, this is not hyperbole, he's not making this up. He's actually going to quote some people and identify who was at this meeting. At a meeting hosted by the highly influential World Economic Forum, this is a meeting of the World Economic Forum, in June, powerful officials from nonprofits around the world, governments around the world, businesses, academia, colleges and universities, labor unions, and other activist groups announced their plan for, this is their language, this is their plan, a great reset of global capitalism. A great reset. They're saying this. They just had a meeting. It's a proposal that they acknowledge has only been made possible because of the opportunity, their language, provided by the economic destruction caused by the coronavirus. Supporters and attendees at this meeting, listen to the list, included Prince Charles, the Secretary General of the United Nations, the CEO of MasterCard, the CEO of British Petroleum, the Chief Economist of the International Monetary Fund, and Al Gore. These are the kind of people that are at this meeting, and this is just a list of those that you should be concerned about. Powerful people, wealthy people, arrogant people who want to tell everybody else in the world we need to reset everything, reset the economy, reset politics, reset the social structures of the world because of the coronavirus and the other chaos in the streets. Here's an article that was published by the World Economic Forum's on their own website by Klaus Schwab, the founder and executive chairman of the World Economic Forum. Here's what he said about the Great Reset. Quote, every country from the United States to China must participate. And every industry from oil and gas to technology must be transformed. In short, we need a great reset, of capitalism. Unquote. That's what the founder and executive chairman of the World Economic Forum, the organization hosting this meeting, where Prince Charles, the United Nations Secretary General, Al Gore, and CEOs from MasterCard and British Petroleum, etc., that's what they're saying. It goes on. The World Economic Forum meeting featured a powerful lineup of global leaders, all of whom seemingly agree that the Great Reset is necessary, quote, to rebalance economies, promote fairness, and create greater equity within societies and among nations. National sovereignty be damned. This is a one world order. We need to use the crises that's before us for a great reset. The purpose, and I've highlighted this, the purpose of the Great Reset isn't merely to enact policies that would lead to additional wealth redistribution, but rather to completely overhaul the world's existing structures and institutions. Among other things, Schwab has said that the Great Reset, this is what he said, the world must act jointly and swiftly to revamp all aspects of our societies and economies, from education to social contracts and working conditions. They go on and make it clear that this is their language. I've got to read this to you. How exactly are these leaders planning on convincing Americans and its citizens of every other industrialized nation to abandon modern capitalism? By scaring the heck out of people into believing that these changes are essential for stopping, quote, the next great crisis the world will face when the COVID pandemic finally subsides. We need to focus on climate change and the fact that there will be another pandemic in the future. So they are sitting back and waiting for the next disease. They're waiting for that to be the final thing that tips the scales to the Great Reset. And if we are complacent and just sit around and hunker down and don't engage in the public square and debate this nonsense, that Great Reset will happen, what? In 5 seconds. It'll happen tomorrow. And that's not conspiracy theory. That's exactly what they're saying. My summary. And then we'll take a break. While you've been distracted with the constant drumbeat of pandemics and protests, these people have actually been planning their Great Reset. They have literally been meeting to give themselves absolute control over every aspect of your life. Under this ruse of justice and equality and fairness and tolerance, they're seeking to take from you and give to who? Themselves. Every time, listen to me, every time you hear the word redistribution, you should know this. It means nothing. It means nothing other than the complete and total consolidation of all privilege and all power and all property into the hands of a few. Who? These few. Al Gore and the United Nations Secretary General and this handful of other oligarchs like the Clintons and Bloomberg, and all those who have called you deplorables and rubes and have said you lack gray matter. Everything you have, your home, your savings account, your retirement assets, everything is subject to this Great Reset. And if you think I'm exaggerating, think again. Everything you've worked for, everything you've fought and sacrificed for, all of your freedoms, all of your rights, all of your property, everything will be taken from you and given to these people that know how to manage those things better than you. For the good of the planet, it's all for your own good. It's all for you. That's why they're doing it. It's the only way to save the planet. It's the only way to keep you safe. Welcome to Animal Farm. Welcome to Orwell. All animals are equal, but some animals are just more equal than others. We need to take a break right now to acknowledge our sponsors, and we'll be right back in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Rebellion. Okay, yesterday I bemoaned the spineless, cowardly reaction from college presidents across the nation, with the exception of Hillsdale College. These presidents, they're issuing laments and apologies to Black Lives Matter. A communist organization, not exaggeration, look it up, that's not me, that's just the fact. They are saying this about themselves. They call themselves Comrades, My Land, within their own website. They believe in this complete reset. They believe that everything is the result of white privilege and capitalism, us against them, the bourgeoisie against the proletariat, the 99% versus the one, this balkanization of culture, this division rather than unity. They believe that a divided States of America can be conquered, and they have to break down the principles, the glue that holds us together as a united people. That's what they believe, and that's what they're doing. They say that. They're clear about that. How many times have you heard interviews where they're actually saying, change the system or we will, quote, burn it down? This is the Great Reset. And the smart folks, the Al Gores, and the people at the United Nations are watching and smiling. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to gain unto themselves power. Take your freedom away. Take your property away through massive tech. Some people are saying, well, not on my watch. They're not taking my property. Well, watch them. They'll tax you. Out the wazoo, they'll tax you so heavily that you lose your property because of taxation. That's the way they'll do it. They're not going to come in militarily and seize your property. At least I would argue that's probably not going to happen. But they clearly can tax you if you all are foolish enough to elect the wrong people and put them in the power to do so. The Great Reset. I want to talk about the second issue of the day, and that's my story in the Washington Times that's titled The Church of Holy Wokeness. You can look it up there. Just go to the Washington Times or follow me on Twitter, Dr. Everett Piper. That's DREVERETTPIP on Twitter, and it'll take you directly to some of the things that I post, and my column is one of them. Okay, I want to read part of my column, and then it's important that you hear a response. I said, as Black Lives Matter protests in Carolina and other places across the nation show this, thousands of people kneeling at the foot of monuments like Martin Luther King Jr. in penance for the sins presumed to be endemic to their race, the white race. They do this on the streets of New York. They do this in Washington, D.C. They're doing this in San Francisco. You see these pictures of people, thousands of people kneeling as if in worship, in a religious point of confession and contrition before other people. For example, on the streets of New York, a black man approaches numerous white people and demands that they bow and apologize. Have you seen that one? He goes around and he videotapes his confrontation of random white women on the sidewalks of New York City, and he demands that they apologize and that they kneel before him and bow in doing so. And dozens upon dozens of women comply. They comply, and they offer their confessions and apologies. Again, almost a religious ceremony. A sacrament of sorts is taking place in this new religion of BLM, this new religion of the Great Reset. So we've got Democratic leaders doing it. You saw the picture of them. They're bowing with this priestly garb, this kente stole around their neck, kneeling as if in religious surrender at their nation's capital. And evangelical churches, these Christian college presidents and whatnot, are posting endless laments on their websites where they mourn the unjust fabric of society. That's a quote out of one of them. The fabric of society, rather than individual sins, they're talking about collectivization of sins. They talk about the sin of willful obliviousness that's endemic to the mind of people who have a given level of melanin in their skin, i.e. those people who are defined as Caucasian. All right. This is my response to that. Welcome to the Church of Holy Wokeness. Welcome to a church that preaches collective blame rather than individual repentance, a church of enablement rather than evangelism, a church of riots rather than revival. Welcome to a church of collective guilt rather than one of personal sins. Welcome to a neo-Marxist church, one that talks more about class conflict and the good news than the good news of salvation. I'll repeat that. Welcome to a neo-Marxist church, one that talks more about class conflict than the good news of salvation, a church of division rather than unity, one of us versus them, the 99% versus the one, the church of the proletariat versus the bourgeoisie, of balkanization rather than the Beatitudes. Welcome to a church that has more in common with the Cultural Revolution of China than it does with the cross of Christ. Welcome to a church of racists pretending to stand against racism, a church that marches for love while fomenting hate. Welcome to a church that is shamelessly intolerant while it pretends to be tolerant, a non-judgmental church that is rushing to judgment, the judgment of you and me. Welcome to a church that categorizes people by the color of their skin rather than the content of their character. Welcome to an affirming church, a church that tells you that you're born that way rather than you must be born again. Welcome to a church that bows before men while standing against God. Welcome to a church that worships what it sees in the mirror while denying what it reads in the Bible. Welcome to a church that has exchanged the truth of God for a lie, a church that worships the created rather than the creator, a church that has been given over to a debased mind and a reprobate heart. This is the church of intersectionality over inerrancy. Pay attention to its high priests. Listen to their words. Hear their liturgy, their virtuous virtue signaling, the dog whistles, the shouts to redistribute power and property. Learn their doctrine, the elevation of the group over the individual, the belief in government more than God, the parroting of Marx and Lenin and Mao, the ignorance of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Jesus. This is America's church, the church of holy wokeness. Welcome to the great awakening. Bow in submission. Pay homage to your gods. This is my commentary. Now I want to read one or two responses. I've got to get it out and pay attention to this. Here's one response, and then I'm going to give you my rebuttal, and then we'll close. This is one response to my article. So, the so-called Christians are out there in force on this one. If your particular Jesus was on Twitter, he would be retweeting all of these comments. I never understood a religion that can be so easily twisted into a vehicle for blindness and exceptionalism. But America has thrived on hypocrisy since it was founded. It is part of the fundamentalist Christian heritage. America will never be great again, quote unquote, until you folks understand and accept your own history. Slavery was never great. That's his response to my article. First of all, the article says nothing about slavery. Again, distraction, sleight of hand. You're just saying, look over there rather than dealing with the argument, dealing with the premise of what was written. But here, basically, is my response. You do realize this column says nothing about slavery. And it never even remotely condones it, nor does it condone racism. You do realize, don't you? Your post is little more than a foolish sleight of hand, a non sequitur, a fallacy of so what? And furthermore, you seem to be clueless to the fundamentalists and the Christian heritage that you ridicule. You're so easy and you're so eager to malign them. You're so eager to malign the very thing that has led to the abolition of slavery here and elsewhere around the world. You might want to do a little bit more reading. Maybe you should start with Wilberforce and Luther Lee and B.T. Roberts and Orange Scott and Sojourner Truth and Harriet Tubman, and then move on to Frederick Douglass and Booker T. Washington. A little literacy never hurt anyone. So my point is this, people. This guy maligns the fundamentalist Christian tradition and heritage, and claims that we're responsible for all the evils that have taken place in our culture as well as around the world. This is asinine. This is crazy. It is those Christians like B.T. Roberts and Luther Lee. It is those fundamentalist Christians, those Christians that believed in the fundamentals, the creedal Christianity of the Nicene Creed and the Apostles' Creed. It's those Christians that believed that the Bible was an authority over man rather than man being the authority over the Bible. It's those very Christians that stood against the evils of slavery. It's those very Christians that fought for its abolition. It's William Wilberforce, who fought for over 20 years on the floor of the British Parliament for the abolition of the slave trade. It's John Wesley, the founder of the Wesleyan Church. The founder of Wesleyan, the Wesleyan Church, the Methodist Church, the founder of the idea of abolition. It's those men, it's those fundamentalist Christians, it's those Orthodox Christians, it's those people that believed in Christianity as being the solution to the problem rather than the cause of the problem. It's those people that you malign right now because you don't know anything about them. You're claiming that Christianity has been the cause of these evils when it is the very fundamentals of Christianity that has solved these evils. It has been light to a dark world, and it has been salt to a rotting culture. From its inception, for 2,000 years, Christianity has stood for the dignity of the human being. William Wilberforce put a picture of a black man in chains on a coin, and he had tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of them minted so that they could be distributed throughout the British Empire. And on that coin, it simply said this, "Am I not a man?" The message there was clear, that a black man is the imago Dei just as much as a white man. Every human being is created in the image of God, and every human being therefore has personal culpability, personal responsibility, should have personal freedom, but yet be held accountable for confessing their sins, because every individual has that endemic nature to be sinful. It is that message that it was individual sin that needs to be confessed rather than collective sin that allows you to avoid your own culpability and blame everybody else. It's that message that changed the world. And this guy is blaming the fundamentalist Christians for the problems when they're the ones who stopped the stuff in the first place. It's Christians who stopped the Roman practice of exposure for infants, which meant if you didn't want this baby girl that was just born, you could go put her on the garbage dump in the trash heap, which they did. It was Christians that said, no, that baby girl is just as valuable as a baby boy, and they went out and rescued those infants, those newborns, from the garbage dump, and they raised them, and they cared for them. It's Christians that established hospitals because they recognized that the dying and those that were suffering disease needed to be cared for because they were human beings, regardless of who they were. It's Christians that established schools because they recognized education was important. Education needed to be focused on those things that mattered, those self-evident truths, those unalienable rights, those things that are endowed to us by God, that those big ideas, those truths with a capital T of life defined by God, not you and me, and liberty given by God and not by government, and the freedom to pursue purpose, happiness, as opposed to the opposite, being subjugated to haplessness by the thumb and the power of government, the knee of government on your neck. It's Christians that have stood for this. It's Christians that fought against the oligarchy, fought against the kings, fought against the people that thought they should control you and me. It's Christians. It's the fundamentalist Christians that believe so strongly in those fundamentals, those things that are right and just and true, the objective reality of God's truth and revelation. It's those Christians who believed in the principles of the Declaration of Independence, that then crafted a constitution that was rooted in that declaration and its premise, that all men are the imago Dei. All men are the image of God. Man meaning, let us create man in our own image, male and female. He created them. It's Christians that understood that that's the only definition that you can put on a human being. Because if you do otherwise, if you balkanize them, if you hyphenate their names, if you define them by the color of their skin rather than the content of their virtue and their Christian character, all hell's going to break loose. And when it does, the despot will use the opportunity to control you through a great reset of the world's systems, the world's economy, the world's politics, and the world's people. I'm Dr. Everett Piper, and this is The Rebellion.